Amen. I would like to lead us back to the place where we were just at. You see, there is a specific context in which God things happens. You have to get this. There is a specific context within which God things happen. In some people's lives, it seems like a lot of God things happen, and sometimes in other people's life, it doesn't seem like a lot of God things happen. The things of God, the hearing of his voice, seeing the promises of his word, and his provision and his miracles and his fullness, the things that the scripture speaks about, they happen within a very specific context. And my message today is to invite you into that context. Because I see a lot of Christians in the world living outside of the context in which all of the things happen that the word of God speaks about. Many Christians would prefer to hear God on certain matters. They would prefer to hear God, but if they don't, they are quite happy to make a call and do what they think is best. They're quite comfortable with that. This then seems to be the rule rather than the exception. Sometimes we will make very big decisions like, I will enter for the two oceans, or I will go to Italy, just because you can, and because it excites you, or because your friend asked. Or you will tell God and others that there are certain things that I will never do. I will never live in this or that place, and I will never do this or that. You hear the I will, and I will never. Maybe we can just work on the feedback on the mic a bit. I will never. I would love for us to completely and violently remove that from our way of living. I really hope that we could crucify a lot of that today. That way of living is not living with a pierced ear. That way of living is actually mixing the most demonic way of living with God's way of living. It's actually mixing the most demonic way of living with God's way of living. You see, the world tells us that you must find out who you are and what you really want in life. And then you should set goals to achieve who you really are and what you really want. And don't you see that in memes and things from certain Christians also? But you see, one of the evilest people that have ever lived, and if you'd go read up on them, you'd see it is one of the evilest people that have ever lived. His name is Aleister Crowley. He's the one that devised the system of dilemma. And within that, there is one law, and that law is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law. This, from that guy, is the exact opposite to what calls us to. And so many times we still fall into I will and I won't. And we're saying yes to that. I want to call us away from that and say that we should be very sure not to mix these two ways of living. That will do us no good. So how should we then live? Well, we should live with a pierced ear. We should live with a pierced ear. Living with a pierced ear is not an optional extra in Christianity. It is the whole deal. It is what it is about. It is the whole deal. What does it mean to live with a pierced ear? We will explore this right now. And you will see wonderful things in the Word of God about this right now. But what it means, what it comes down to, is when the Apostle Paul calls himself a bondservant of Christ. And so does Peter and Jude and James call themselves bondservants of Christ. And we are referred to in Ephesians 6:6 and 2 Timothy 2:24 and Revelations 1:1. We are referred to, followers of Christ are referred to as bondservants of Christ. That's what we are referred to as. Followers of Christ, bondservants of Christ. It's our identity, that's who we are. What does that mean? And what is Paul referring to when he speaks about that? It's what we're going to explore today. I want us to read Deuteronomy 15 from verse 12 to 17. I've skipped a few verses in the middle. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Then it continues to say how much you should bless this person and give them lots of stuff. Verse 16, but if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. What's going on here? See, so in those days when you were stuck in debt or in extreme poverty and for a few other reasons, one of your options was to actually sell yourself to someone as a slave so that you would do whatever they would say that you should do. And outside of the Hebrew culture, that was a kind of a forever thing, and they would kill you as they want and they would do with you as they please. But God said, with us, not so. We will treat them well. And you will have someone in extreme debt or that is in extreme poverty. You'll have them work with you for 6 years. And after that, you'll release them with a lot of blessing and a lot of stuff. So they'll be debt free and they'll be ready to run. Isn't that wonderful? Just the ways of God was different. It was radically different from the ways that the people around them were doing. So that happened. Now, we must understand, firstly, and this is crucial, that being someone's slave, being someone's servant in this context is not being someone's employee. And I think sometimes we confuse it. We think that's our understanding of it. I'm someone's employee. So I'm probably, and then we kind of live sometimes like we are also God's employee. So that whenever he does instruct us, we kind of have to do it. But whenever he does not, it means it's my free time and I do what I want. But we don't understand this concept that refers to us much more than us. We're not God's employees. We're God's doulos, God's servants, God's bondservants. What does that mean in this context? You have to sometimes close your eyes and just think about this. This is not an 8-to-5 and then your own life. This is that you actually belonged to that person. They decide where you lived. They decide if you got married or if you didn't get married. And they could decide whether you live or die. And whatever you would do. You see, if you would in that context say, hey, we've saved up a bit of money, me and my other fellow slave servant, let's go to Italy. That would be rebellious, worthy of being put to death. Not telling the master, not asking the master, just saying, Like, well, let's go to Italy, guys. And then you make your own plans and you leave for Italy. You would surely be put to death in that context. Do we understand what it means to be a servant of God? What Paul is referring to. Now, after 6 years, the slave had a choice. You could either take a lot of stuff and be released, or you could say, I love my master and his family too much. He has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. It is better for me to be his slave than to be free with a lot of his stuff. It's better for me to be his slave forever than to be free. My dear friends, that's how the Old Testament speaks to what it means to be a follower of Christ. So the Old Testament uses these kind of symbols that helps us to understand what it would mean one day when we'd have the opportunity to do that for Christ. You've been so good to me that it's better for me to be your slave forever. And you see, then a certain thing happened. There was this this little ceremony that they conducted. But after that, your decision, it was a voluntary decision, right? To say, but then it's binding forever. You can't undo that. Do you see that? You can't undo that. It's voluntary, but binding. A bondservant for life. And then they had this little weird ceremony, which we're going to look at. So they said that they would take a nail and they would drive it through your ear into the door. So you'd go stand at the house of this person, and they would take a little after you've now made your decision, you've declared it to everyone. I don't know, there's probably a few spectators around, a few witnesses, or the family's there to celebrate it, because remember, these guys love each other a lot. There's a big moment. And you go and you stand, and someone with a good aim like Conrad would hopefully come up and smack it, boom, into the door. Now, I'm not sure exactly for how long they had to stand there. And then after that, it was a done deal. The symbolism of the ear to the door, I'd like to speak to you right now. You were nailed to the door, meaning that you were, from this point onwards, attached forevermore. You're not free to do what you want. You are attached forevermore. That's the first thing. The second thing is you're attached to this door. It means that you are there to serve this house, this door, forevermore. I am attached to nothing else but this door, this house, this door, this estate. Whatever this door represents is what I will serve henceforth for the rest of my life. And I think it's quite significant that it's the ear. Because, you know, a slave cannot lend his ear to anyone else. Not even yourself. Your ear from that moment belongs to the purposes of the master of that house, to which you are forever attached. If you would walk around in the marketplace, you would, I don't know where exactly that it says the earlobe, I think. So you'd probably have a little hole there, or little scar. And everyone would know, oh, I can't speak to that ear, because that ear belongs to someone. That ear is made for one voice only. I can't go and tell that ear what I think it should do. The ear is consecrated. I've been thinking about whether I should maybe do this little ceremony and see what it feels like. And in thinking about it, I'm thinking, well, I would really like to, but it's probably going to hurt. And then how long am I going to stand there for? And like, am I going to want to like pull away instantly and then make it a lot worse? Or like, and as I'm going through this, I'm realizing there's going to be pain involved here. Like, this guy's not only making a call and say, yo, I'm responding to an altar call. Yes, I want to live my life with Jesus. He's having to think about the fact this might be quite painful. And in my view, it relates to us just thinking about it carefully and counting the cost of what it would really mean if we would do this, because it will incur us pain. And it won't only incur you pain in that moment, it might incur you pain later too, when you have to work really hard and do things that you maybe don't always like. But it's accounting of that cost. And then the last thing is that this is actually a covenant. It fulfills all of the requirements of a covenant. A covenant, as to be a covenant, there is, has got promises, it's got a sign, and it's got blood. That's how you make a covenant. So in this instant, the promises were clear. I'll serve this master forever. The sign would be there in your ear and would be seen in that ceremony by everyone. That would be the sign. Probably the scar would be a perpetual sign. And the blood of the covenant, which would probably be a little bit, there would be a little bit of that on the door, I think. This is a proper covenant that you're making with that master, because he's been so good to you that you'd rather be a slave than to live as a free man. Are you perhaps living like an employee of the Lord, where he decides a few things and you decide the rest? Do you use words like I will or I will never a lot? You see, sometimes we don't understand. We kind of play with it like we could walk in and out like we want. And we play this thing of free will, which if you apply free will to that context, it's heretical. That's not what it means to have free will. You see, the servant had free will to do what? To choose. He chose what? To be Christ, in our context, to be Christ's servants forevermore. Then that's a done deal. That's what it means to be a Christian. Before that point, you're not a Christian. You might be a supporter of Christians. You might be someone that thinks Jesus is amazing, but you're not a Christian, a follower of Christ. We choose once. From then on, he chooses. We don't chase, we follow. We don't choose, we follow and obey. That's living with a pierced ear. Jesus said that it's really hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Many of you I would consider rather rich. Even myself, I would consider rather rich, looking at world averages, global averages. You know what the problem is with having money is that you've got a lot of choice you could make. What would you do differently if you would have 100 million rand right now? Would you? Because if you would do something different than from what you are doing right now, it means that you're not living with a pierced ear. If you would do things different, if you would receive a lot of money right now, than what you're doing right now, that means that you're not living with a pierced ear. You are so open to be able to do what you want to do if you are actually enabled to do what you want to do. I think it's a misunderstanding of freedom. It's subscribing to the freedom of Alex the Crowley, where he said, if you truly find your will, you would find fulfillment. Misunderstanding that to be freedom. Secular freedom means that you can choose what you want, but real freedom is to be bound in Christ. And if you think that limits your creativity and that limits your autonomy and it limits a lot of stuff, your amazing mind to think up amazing plans, then you just haven't done it yet. You will be more fully alive and more fully called to use everything God has given you in that context. And more than that, you will also experience what it is that the Word of God speaks about when it speaks about life in abundance, when it speaks about shalom, when it speaks about hearing Him, when it speaks about His miracles. That's where they happen. That's the context where that happens in. And it doesn't happen in another context. Will you fall down and pray and fast and wait if God is quiet? Or would you tell yourself, it's okay, I'll just make the decision I think is best? Do you desire Him to lead everything? And are you unwilling to proceed unless you know the heart of God? This is an offensive message. I know. Bondservants make one decision. Perhaps you need to make that decision today. If you thought Christian life allows you to still make the big calls in your own life, you're living a lie and might be in utter rebellion against God, wondering why you don't see the life in abundance and the miracles and the supernatural and all those things as a constant in your life. Let us close our eyes and we'll go back into worship. Lord, I thank you for the incredible, incredible opportunity that we have to know you, to be set free from our sin forevermore, to be invited by you, to forsake our lives and to follow you, to be with you forever. I pray, Father, that this good news of the invitation and privilege to live with a pierced ear before the one who is so good to us would engulf our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would lead us to repentance where we walk in dead religion by singing things like, all to you, Jesus. You can have it all, Jesus. But then walking straight out and using things like, I will and I will not. I pray for that to stop in our midst in Jesus' name. The one or the other. I pray, Father, for those of us who struggle to receive this word because we realize what we need to let go, like that rich young ruler was so offended. Lord, help us. We're so offended. If you're so offended right now, like that rich young ruler was, when Jesus said, well, just go and sell everything you have and come follow me. And he was just saddened and walked away. And maybe you feel like, I'm just going to walk away from this kind of message. God's calling you. Don't walk away. Life is awaiting. And some of us have to deny ourselves the choice that our riches puts in front of us. You might even be called to just give up everything you have right now so that you don't have as much. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that you would convict us. As we're going to worship now and as we're going to minister, I want to make an altar call that you're actually going to come to the front. No, we're not going to pray at the back today. We're going to pray right at the front, because I need those who must say yes today to come to the front. I need those who realize that I cannot continue living if I don't say yes to God to come to the front. There's still more of you that the Lord is really inviting to respond. It's really difficult, but I think you should respond. It's not going to ask you a little, but it's going to ask you a lot. Let us worship Him. If we could sing that song again, that would be really helpful. We're going to sing, "I'll Come Around, Pray For You Guys." Jacques, you can come and pray with me. But more than that, I need all of you guys to just do business with the Lord, because this is not between us and you, but between you and Him. But we do also want to pray a prayer of agreement with you.